This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
After the hour, it's time now for the weekly talk radio roundup, a review of the hot hits in news talk radio as described and verified by the folks at Talkers Magazine. You can find this list of the top 10 stories both at talkers.com and at djvshow.com. We post it on our social media as well. As a matter of fact, we have some questions that pertain to some of the issues of the week. If you'd like to respond, we'll have a report from Jay Kirshner during the hour as to what your responses are to some of our questions regarding the issues of the day, people that are, folks are talking about, what's going on, the events. The story list starts at number 10, ladies, with the Gabby Petito case. I've been saying Petino. You say Petito, and it is Petito, and that's kind of a strange thing. We'll get to that with some thoughts, comments, and reality. Facebook, I want actually to have an update from Victoria because she's our person in charge of that sort of information. Facebook, well, there have been a couple of different announcements this week that we ought to go over. The continuing focus on fraud claims and the January 6th investigation, I wish this would just go away because it seems to be nonsense. That's my comment. I won't probably get into it any more than that. The whole situation with Texas, the abortion bill, if that's what you want to call it, is number 7. The fact that Matthew McConaughey has a lead over current Governor Greg Abbott, one would wonder if it has to do in part with this sort of thing. The weather situation is number 6. China is 5. Immigration is 4. Some pretty interesting things going on with Haiti that we'll get to. The economy is 3, and the UN meeting for the first time in this session with all the comments from various world leaders, number 2, and as usual, unfortunately, still number 1 is COVID and all the related ancillary stories, which include the Biden administration reimbursing Florida, or at least districts in Florida, that had funds held up over mask mandates. Who remembers this Department of Education actually reimbursing about $150,000 to a school district that was penalized for mandating masks and for in-person learning? I thought that that was taken care of. I don't know why.
The governor, Governor DeSantis said that he would, that basically any school district that decided to go ahead with a mask mandate after he did this he did like a ban on mask mandates, which is like, you're getting into a million double negatives, but he basically said that you would lose your funding if you go against his executive order. So there are some school districts that were just hit really hard with COVID, and they made the individual decision, we'll take the risk, and we're going to keep the students and the teachers safe, and that's what they did. So the education secretary did say from the beginning that, you know, we're not going to let you lose your funding. We'll reimburse you. So that's
so
where
this was
from.
State money that was withheld from the districts, or this was federal money that the governor just decided not to give to districts that mandated masks.
Well, the state funds the schools, right? So the state money funds the schools.
Well, local money does. State money supposedly. Federal money.
State money funds the schools, and then you had a bunch of school districts that said we're going to do the mask mandates, even though in the state that was deemed to be illegal. It's very much the same thing that's going on in California, where you have schools that say we're not going to do the mask mandate because we don't believe it's effective, and we don't think that kids are going to be able to learn with the masks on their face. And Gavin Newsom has held back funding from those schools. So it's very much the same kind of mix, except it's opposite day in Florida, where the governor says leave it up to the parents and the kids. They can wear masks if they want to, but that the school can't mandate it.
Huh?
What do you mean? The school can't mandate your child will not be taught unless your kid is wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. But if you're a parent or a kid and you want your kid to wear a mask, you can do that.
Okay.
It's not like masks aren't allowed. It's that it's up to the parent rather than the school.
My grandson in first grade And a school in Bel Air, as a matter of fact, has been wearing a mask, and the kids in the class have been wearing a mask. And maybe it's the age, but they don't have a problem because they've spent the last year and a half with it, sort of grown up on it. And maybe there's a difference
really
when you're in high school.
I don't know the outcome in either direction until the kids your grandkids' age are old enough to know if there was a difference made. I mean, it's really hard to tell. People say, well, the masks aren't impacting learning. And then there are people who are saying the masks are. And the truth is, we're not going to know. And we're not going to know how broad it is until those kids get old enough. And if we see that they're okay or not based on their circumstances.
But also, I think that, hang on one second. One other thing that has been an argument, or not an argument, but a point that's been raised a lot with the mask thing is, you know, kids in public schools, depending on what state you're in, you know, they have to go through active shooter drills. To me, that's a lot more traumatic than having to wear a mask when everyone knows it's a pandemic.
But I think
if anything is going to, psychologically impact kids, it might be the fact that they are prepared to be shot at when they go to school. I mean, my mom remembers, Doug, you probably did this too, those drills where you had to get under your desk in case of, like, nuclear war.
Yes. The Russians, right.
Well, right.
But the here's the thing. I think it's less about trauma. Obviously, we want our kids to be prepared if there's a school shooting, because that's the new reality, is that there are sometimes school shootings. And it's unfortunate that that's the way it is, but it is, and you want your kid to be prepared. I think it's less about trauma, this argument about masks, and more about learning. There are a lot of kids, especially with special needs and learning disabilities, that I think, according to their parents at least, are having a harder time connecting and keeping up in classrooms because they're having a hard time either hearing their teacher, they're having a hard time, the teacher's having a hard time deciding who's actually having trouble, who's getting concepts, that kind of stuff. So your more communicative kids, I think, are going to be doing fine because they'll say, hey, I don't understand this, or they'll volunteer that. But for those kids, and I was one of them, so I can kind of like identify who were super shy. If I were hiding behind a mask, I would probably like it because I didn't want to be seen in school, but I would also probably slip through the cracks more because I would never say, hey, I don't understand that. Can you review it again? So I think it really is going to depend on the kid and their personality as to whether or not, you know, they're tracking with what's going on in the classroom. And maybe everything will be fine. We just simply don't know at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also another added factor in peer pressure, because you have kids who some are wearing masks, some aren't, and as politicized as adults are making it, it trickles down to the kids as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting thought.
That's
reality.
The argument for uniforms in school, that it takes away that, you know, peer pressure of who's wearing what and who's spending what on their outfits and stuff, yeah. But if it should be, all kids should be in the same thing, right? You don't want half the kids in uniforms and half the kids get to wear, you know, their new Jordans. And then I think the half and half thing of some kids wearing masks and become targets maybe by other kids who are not wearing masks, it becomes a big problem.
Children can be pretty cruel.
Yep.
The number four issue this week on the list from Talkers Magazine, the story list, has to do with immigration. The special envoy for Haiti has resigned this week from his position. He wrote in his letter that he will, quote, not be associated with the United States' inhumane, counterproductive decision to deport thousands of Haitian refugees. Well, what are we supposed to do with them? I guess that's the question. There have been a lot of questions that have come up this week in conversation about the how these people got from Haiti to Mexico or wherever it is they're coming in from. It is a mess. Complete mess. Yeah.
This guy that resigned, his name's Daniel Foote, and he said that he's upset that the Biden administration was deporting some of these people back to wherever they came from. And as of right now, I think only 300 to 400 or 500 of them have actually been sent back. The rest, most of them, have actually now been let into the country, which is also outrageous. So you've got a no-win situation here for the Biden administration, really for all of us who are dealing with this. But the dirty secret is that a lot of these people are not coming from Haiti. They are coming from places like Brazil. They're coming from places like Chile. And they were waiting. These are people who have been in those countries working jobs and waiting. They have the resources to get here. And they felt because now is the time with the border open that they would come into the country at this moment. So this is, you know, it's not like everybody is a poor, you know, person in Haiti who was
taken out by natural disasters and by a corrupt government. A lot of these people have been out of Haiti for years and have just chosen now is the time to come to the United States. So it's pretty complicated. It's not just one group of people. And the story out this week is that not only is Del Rio, Texas now the hotbed, but Yuma, Arizona has been hit in the last couple of days by, I think, another 9,000 or 10,000 migrants. And they're coming in from 24 different countries. So these are not people who are just escaping the hardest of conditions or the harshest of conditions. These are people who are coming here because they think they can. They think they're going to be handed a paper to appear, and they're just going to disappear in. And how much more of that can we withstand? Without sounding heartless, I mean, it's very possible that we're going to have more than 2 million people that came in just this year alone. And that's, you can't hold that up. It's just too many people.
Why are we responsible? This guy says there are a lot of problems over there, and yes, there are, and it's awful, but why is it our problem? Where's the international community? Where are all the other countries? Why is it that we become the dumping ground for people from countries? This is what, you know, I look at the points or think of the points that we need to make here. Why, my first question, why do we need to let these people in here? Why aren't they going, isn't there some solution that's an international solution? And did they even bother to talk about it at the UN meeting this week? Was there any focus on all of these illegal immigrants that are not only coming here, but if you go to Europe, a lot of people from the Middle East are still trickling into in Afghanistan, trickling into some of the countries in Europe. So that's the number one question. And number two, when to get in here, what are we doing with them? We're paying for stuff in one way or another, and we've done it because we've made the unemployment rules so liberal that people still are not working. So there's a need. A lot of employers are happy to see these people come in because they'll have folks to do the work that needs to be done. And so it's a pretty sticky, messy situation that it seems to me good leadership could fix. So maybe the question is, where's the good leadership? And you can answer that for yourself. 18 past the hour. This is the Talk Radio Roundup. Doug Steffen here. I spent a lot of time talking about MyPillow products. Now they've done it again. They announced the introduction of new My Slippers. My Slippers took a couple of years to develop to ensure that they are the highest in quality and comfort, just like everything else at MyPillow. These are designed for all day, indoor use, outside wear. My Slippers are made with quality suede and the exclusive three-tier cushioning system, combining layers of MyPillow fill, impact gel, and comfort memory foam to absorb impact and relieve pressure. Your feet will never feel the same. Whether you prefer the moccasin or the slip-on style, My Slippers available right now, a variety of colors and sizes. Go to MyPillow.com, look for the My Slippers new page, get 50% off. That's the new My Slippers. Get 50% off. Discount code DJV, mypillow.com.
The weather can be unpredictable. Be prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance, lasting 2 times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, only available at Walmart.
These may be uncertain times, but what is certain is that every family needs a reliable thermometer. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. Stay safe.
Welcome back to the quickest podcast ever, brought to you by Kohl's.
Today's topic, fall style.
Wait, wasn't it just June?
Right? So I went to Kohl's.
Of course you did.
I got a cute Cara Santana for Nine West sweater for 25% off and a great pair of Vans.
Love Vans.
And saved 25% on a Champion hoodie for my husband.
Ooh, sounds cozy.
You should go. You'll get 15% off or 15, 20, or even 30% off with a Kohl's card.
BRB.
Select styles. Offers end September 26th. Champion coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Talk Radio Countdown. This is the overview of what's going on. The DJV program is a program that's heard around the country. Many of these same stations over the weekend that carry the countdown, carry the DJV program. You can check us all out at DJV Show on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And you can get downloads of our podcast every day at DJV Show Download. And listen to the program live wherever you get your podcasts or at DJVShow.com. How about that? 21 after the hour.
What will you do if- if there's a sudden food shortage. Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Now, the Talk Radio Review, the countdown stories, and people. We'll get to the people list in the next half hour, and some more comments about what's going on, thoughts, and the whys and wherefores. Right now, though, I've invited you to answer some of the questions and comment on some of the things, the items that are on the DJV socials, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. So, Jay, take us through some of the questions and some of the responses from our listeners.
Well, COVID still remains a hot topic, so one of the big questions, do you still wear a mask? Why or why not? Sue Wilson says, nope, vaxxed and not worried, just trying to live life once again. Well, Sally Wellburn says, absolutely, I have been vaccinated, but I could still carry the virus in my nasal passages. 54 people died in Washington State yesterday.
Wow. Who else? Let's see here. Is there anything that you saw there from any of our listeners that seemed unusual, or is that the take is the same pretty much all the way around?
It's pretty much some people either aren't wearing them. There are a couple who said that they've never had to wear one. If they want to go to a business and the business requires it, they just don't go into that business.
So
I
see one person here who, Billy Dale Cummings, who says he only wears it at the doctor's office. This would be a good time for you to tell a quick story about your week with your family because your husband has COVID and you've been sort of living, working around that because you both work from home on different radio programs and you got a one-year-old baby. So give us a few moments on how it is that you have worked around that, how you've survived, in fact, what you have to do.
I feel like I'm not surviving. When they say it takes a village to raise a child, they're not being facetious by any means. I'm exhausted. I am doing everything myself, but I also don't want to complain to my husband about it because he's the one that's actually going through COVID, and he's the one that's feeling ill, and he's the one that has to be quarantined from us. And it's so difficult watching my husband will come out of the room that he's quarantined into use the restroom, which is on the other side of the house. We're staying away from, but Mac will see him and Mac wants to run over to him and he doesn't understand why daddy can't come play with him and that is heartbreaking and it's just, you know, trying to keep everything clean. But it's not even just this past almost 2 weeks now with Ryan's COVID. It almost started last month with my lungs and the asthma and the allergies and not being able to see doctors because nobody's seeing you if you're sick and then you do have COVID, so they're definitely not seeing you. And it is just, this whole thing is astounding. And one of my big takeaways, especially this week with Ryan having COVID, is how many people reached out to us. Not to see how we're doing, but to commend us for staying quarantined. Like, really? That's the commendable thing, that we're staying quarantined?
So many
Aren't
people
you supposed to?
Like we talked about, because Ryan got it from someone who had the vaccine, who had COVID, who didn't stay quarantined. And so I think there are a lot of people that get this false sense of security, especially once they're vaxxed, that, well, I have the vaccine, so I can, I mean, it's still really about whether or not you're sick, you have symptoms, all of those things. And you just got, people are not responsible about that kind of stuff. It's crazy.
No. And it's almost one of those things of, well, if I don't see it, it's not happening. People are sick. They have some symptoms, but then they're chalking it up to something else. They're like, well, it's not COVID,
it's
this. So I'm not even going to go get tested. If you have anything, just go get tested. What's the harm in just making sure?
Not any
just stay away from people if you don't want to get tested.
That's
just
true.
Away.
Yeah.
You know?
Just stay away. That's very accurate, too. Absolutely.
All right. One of the other questions has to do with the big controversy in Texas, abortion laws. What do you feel about them? What do you have for responses there, Jay?
Yeah, are they racist, sexist? Do they hold any socioeconomic prejudice? Are they ageist? Eric Hodges says there's no need to complicate it. Abortion is murder, period. Melba Sweetman says none of the above. Save a life and give it to someone else to love. Gary Roeder points out late term abortion is inhumane. That's what should be banned.
Yeah, I think there's, I have a hard time with abortion myself. I don't think it's my business, but the other side of it is, just in a personal thing, I think seeing my grandson come along, as we have with the ultrasound, and seeing the image of this baby in the womb, really, it's startling, actually, to see when the baby actually comes to life, if you will. It's 28 after.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com. Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback, and they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps as restrictions come to an end and you get back to work. Do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
1 week and counting. The federal government could default on our debt for the first time in American history come next Friday. Lawmakers have drawn lines in the sand. Republican Senator Mitch McConnell.
They want to tax, borrow, and spend historic sums of money without our input. They'll have to raise the debt limit without our help.
Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer.
How heartless can you be? You voted to spend these monies because of COVID. It's a valid reason. And now you don't want to pay for it.
America's debt is currently well over $28 trillion. New research conducted at White Sands National Park in New Mexico has uncovered the oldest known human footprints in North America. White Sands officials said the discovery reveals evidence of human occupation in the Tularosa Basin beginning at least 23,000 years ago. That's thousands of years earlier than previously thought. We are USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
As the Biden administration's self-induced crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border worsens, the president's mandate that all adult Americans get vaccinated from COVID-19 may be running into legal trouble. Mandating Americans to get vaccinated and allowing illegal immigrants to freely enter the country without the vaccine makes no scientific sense and appears to be discrimination by the president. Arizona Attorney General Mike Brnovich on Fox News.
There is nothing legally the Biden administration can answer to that question, but we know that the Biden administration is systematically not following our immigration laws. That's why we have multiple lawsuits against them, including the fact that they failed to follow black letter law that says they must deport or they shall deport people with deportation orders. But the bottom line is the president of the United States, no person, has the ability to unilaterally require American citizens to have vaccines, but at the same time, it shows the hypocrisy of the Biden administration. And if you're in this country illegally, you get the choice. I mean, the toughest choices right now facing people that have illegally crossed our border is whether they want, you know, two twin beds or a king bed in the hotel they're being put up by American taxpayers.
A woman has been arrested on suspicion of starting a Northern California wildfire that spread rapidly, burning homes and prompting evacuation orders Thursday in Shasta County. That's where the Fawn Fire was sparked Wednesday afternoon. Workers at a nearby quarry reported seeing a woman acting strangely and trespassing, as reported by the California Department of Forestry. Later Wednesday, Palo Alto resident 30-year-old Alexandra Silverneva walked out of the brush and was arrested and booked in the Shasta County Jail. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Now 34 after the hour, second half hour of our talk radio roundup, a review of the thoughts of the people that are on the DJV program with me every weekday. Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, and Jay Kirshner are all here. I want to go back just a bit, Jay, if we can, to the trending items that you have been following, social media responses. The number 7 item this week is the abortion issue, and a lot of it has to do with what's going on in Texas. But you had some, I don't know that we gave it enough time, you had some pretty strong answers that came from folks listening that were interested in answering that. But are they pretty much all, when I look at them, I think this is an issue that doesn't really change. People's thoughts are about the same. Yeah, we have to visit it every once in a while because it does pop up, like the situation in Texas. But is there anything new there? Did you see a comment that just when you saw it, stood out among all the comments?
Yeah, the majority of comments are pretty much follow the lines of adoption is an option, abortion is murder. But some people kind of went a little bit further with it, where Karen Jacqueline says, in these modern times with so much birth control available, it's a woman's responsibility to take necessary precautions and prevent conception, not ignore responsibility and kill their mistakes. Yes. I think that it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
If you're going to blame one, you should blame both sides.
And a woman being raped who doesn't want to be on hormonal birth control, I mean, how is that not taking responsibility? I mean, come on.
Exactly. And Peggy Lou kind of echoed that with, no, take control of your life.
I think there's not gray area. It's everything is black and white. I mean, I think what people bristle at a lot more, and quite frankly, I bristle at a lot more, is there are 42 million abortions during the year. Not all of those people are victims of rape. And I think we do have empathy, or some of us anyway, I'll just speak for myself, have empathy, obviously, for people who don't have a decision to make when they are raped or when someone is abusing them. Obviously, that's an issue. But I do bristle when people use as their sole form of birth control. And I think there is then that conversation about, is there something else that you could do aside from just saying, oh, if something happens, I can get an abortion. I think that there is a conversation to be had about that. I think it doesn't all get put in the same cart, kind of.
Right, but one in four women in America will have an abortion before the age of 45. So you can't... There are a smaller percentage, yes, of women who are abused and raped and, you know, assaulted, and that results in a pregnancy. That's a separate category. Then there are some women who, yeah, are just, you know, irresponsible. I don't know anyone who would think that getting an abortion is somehow easier than taking a pill every day or using a condom. But the vast majority of women who get abortions are actually looking, they already either are on birth control that failed, or they have some sort of a system, you know, that they're using, whether the guy uses a condom or whatever. The vast majority are not women who are just using it, you know, willy-nilly as birth control. I mean, it's a serious procedure if you're not, you know, the pills are, the at-home pills that you can take, that's, you know, that's no joke. I mean, you're still housebound. You're missing work. I don't agree with that argument. And I know a lot of people like to make that argument that most women are just using it as birth control. It's the most inconvenient thing. Well, I've heard a lot of, especially men, say, oh, well, you know, that's women just using it as birth control.
I think it all gets put into one bucket, and unfortunately, like everything else in our lives, it's not all one bucket, and that's the point that I'm making. It's not all, it's not all people using it as birth control. It's not all people who have been raped. It's not all people. I mean, it's a really complicated, obviously personal and emotional issue,
and
I really
think
it does.
Most of the time, the conversation goes no place because people can't seem to agree. So
because
let's move on.
It's so intense. Yeah, it's such an intense.
All right, immigration number four. Before we left that, I wanted to spend a moment talking about what the Department of Homeland Security did this week, suspending the use of the horse patrol in Del Rio. This was a subset of this discussion because there were a lot of images that showed the agents whipping or charging their horses at the migrants, and the visual seemed to imply they were hitting the migrants with the reins of the horses.
Well, some people got hit in the face. There are pictures of that, too, and there are video of it. I mean, it's, you know, whether that was the intention, I don't know. I'm not one of the Border Patrol people. To me, as a horse lover, I would like the horses to not be involved in that because they were charging horses at people, trying to use them as a blockade. And I don't think that to me, that's animal abuse. So it's abusive
all
around.
But those people there are not
thinking about
that.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, the horses
that.
Have been used traditionally because sometimes, I mean, that border terrain is sometimes the only way that you can provide protection for the country. So now the Biden administration has decided that horses are racist and that they're going to pull them out of use at the border. So
I don't
now
think
we don't
horses
have a
are racist.
Well, that's the message is that they're. You
no,
know,
I think
I, mean,
I don't think horses are exercising racism here. I think the accusation is that there's the one patrol guy, and his picture and video is everywhere. I mean,
yeah, and how sad.
Unmasked,
and he's doing nothing. He was doing nothing wrong. He's now on desk duty.
Obviously,
he was
debatable.
He was following Border Patrol procedures. And so this is the Biden administration, and it's their procedures. And so why would the guy be punished and put on desk duty for doing exactly what they told him to do? And so
it's
I just... Well, yes, and it is. And here's
proof
of that.
People want to waste a lot of time talking, well, what if Trump were president? He's not. And these people are there now.
I don't even think it has anything to do with Trump. This is all Biden's. Biden is the one who created this problem. And the problem also for the Biden administration with this whole...
Sure he did.
The 2 million people here is because of Biden's messaging. Absolutely.
Okay. But the border, the guys on horseback, he didn't create that. That's not a policy.
No, but that's his border patrol. It's his people that are running it, and that's their policy.
I think you'd find that there are a lot more Border Patrol people who voted for Trump than voted
for
Biden.
But it doesn't matter who they voted for. And here's the point. The optics are what's bothering them. It doesn't matter about what's good or not for the country. They're letting now all of these Haitians into the country because there's a Black Lives Matter rally that's scheduled there, and they don't want the optics of Haitians being turned away.
They all do.
So they're letting them all in, 15,000 of them.
Trying to make themselves look good. Speaking of that, the UN meeting this week, the conversation behind the scenes about who's going to be the next leader of Germany, that was pretty interesting looking at the way our country works as we talk about it among ourselves and people talk about it in their lives, the different parties here and how you have polling and then we have voting. One of the things the Germans do that I prefer is they vote on weekends. They don't vote during the week. And while we can't fix that in our own reflective way is something that's crazy. Anyway, Angela Merkel has been the chancellor there for, what, 15 years or 16 years? I think she's been around for a long time now. She's not going to run. She's retiring. Both of the candidates who are trying to persuade voters to vote for them are a lot different than she is. But it's, you know, there are a lot of people who think Germany is the most powerful country in the European Union. And it may have a leader that's a little, most of the choices that they have now are center a little to the left or center a little to the right. They don't have the kind of whack job fanatics that we have here. And that's because they hold the people understand how the system works there. They don't understand primaries here and how important it is. Anyway, so the top two candidates are a guy named Olaf Scholz, who's 63. He's the guy from the left, the Social Democratic Party. The other person is Armin Laschet, who's 60, the head of the party that Merkel ran the center a little bit to the right, Christian Democratic Union. And so I think that Scholz is leading, as is the, you know, we want to change. People had 16 years of the Merkel stuff a little to the right, so now they want to go a little to the left. Be interesting to see how it shakes out, frankly. But there, I think this week, talking about Europe and optics, there was the meeting between the leaders of the United States and the leader of France. And as a matter of fact, on the list here, Emmanuel Macron is number 3. I didn't get a clear feeling because there was some kind of like nicey-nicey in public. But what did these guys have to say? You know, was it basically an up yours when they had a private conversation?
No, it seemed to be better than that. But doesn't France want to bill Australia now for, that somewhere, right? Yeah. They want Australia to pay for their lost income.
Mm-hmm. And from what I've heard, they knew that the deal was going to go south, so they weren't necessarily upset with the United States for making the deal for the submarine with Australia. They were upset about the way that it was carried out, I guess. And there's also some bad blood between Biden and Macron about Afghanistan and the way Biden withdrew the troops and withdrew and didn't really draw in our allies into that conversation because the French actually had a lot of people in Afghanistan. And so they withdrew their ambassador to the U.S. from France. That was a pretty big move as far as diplomacy. Now, that person's back after this conversation, but there was an argument about whether or not Biden apologized. I don't know what it matters if he does or not, but certainly the thing that is pointing out is that there was a difference in transcripts with the United States saying Joe Biden did not apologize and the French saying that he did. But I guess we're moving forward. And he's now just
moving
mad at the
on.
Australians. Right.
Okay, so a couple of other things that have taken the oxygen out of the rooms this week. Number 10, both on the story list and the people list, is a focus on the Petito laundry situation. And now a federal arrest warrant has been issued for this guy. Is he even still alive? is the question. Where is he? And so,
no one knows.
But
I think his parents know.
So weird.
His parents know.
I think his parents know. Too. Right.
I think his parents are in this. The reason I think that he is alive is that if you were a parent worth your salt, even if your child did commit murder, you would still want the safety of your child, right? You may want them to face the consequences, but they don't seem to be panicking publicly about where he is. He's gone too. It's very possible they're searching a swamp for his body to see if he fed himself to the alligators. If you're those parents, wouldn't you be out there a little bit in the public eye being a little more desperate like Gabby and Tito's parents were?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I feel like it's just not consistent, and maybe they do know where he is.
Yeah, his parents are way too chill over this whole thing.
Yeah, it's so obvious what's going on. Number 9, Victoria and Jay, Facebook social media issues. We had some focus in our tech reports this week, Victoria, on Facebook. You want to recap that quickly?
Well, Facebook has had a lot of different issues this week. So I think specifically what you're referring to is the Wall Street Journal coming after them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So coming up with a lot of facts that make a lot of sense.
Right. Yeah, and so this is based on the employees, and so the Wall Street Journal did an investigation and showed that Facebook repeatedly failed to properly address crucial problems highlighted in internal studies conducted by the company's own employees, such as how the most divisive content surfaces on Facebook, which we know, in so many news feeds because of its high engagement. And so it's just, I mean, Facebook is a cesspool. It's one thing after another. And so, you know, the interesting thing, though, is that Facebook never seems to take a financial hit. Other companies with this much scrutiny would absolutely be taking much greater hits than Facebook is. And, you know, they just seem to be,
so the
executives are all about making the money, and that's it.
Yeah,
and they
seem to be fine. Well, the other social media companies, Twitter and Instagram, well, Twitter's part of Facebook.
Instagram's owned by Facebook.
Yeah. So what issues do you see here? Is it just the same old stuff in terms of people saying things that aren't true, especially when it comes to stuff like COVID?
And the social media platforms decide who gets to say what, which people get kind of like blacklisted or shadow banned, as they call it, where they're not really showing up in timelines. But Instagram also started this kind of new-ish thing where you scroll down on your news feed and eventually it says, oh, you've already seen everything in the past 3 days, and they won't let you see a whole bunch of other things. And you're basically only seeing the same 5 accounts, and then they start showing you accounts you don't follow who they think you would like to follow.
God.
Just based on your algorithm and what they see.
Yeah, it feels like the algorithm from Facebook is taking over Instagram now, which is one of the main reasons people liked Instagram, is because it wasn't like Facebook.
Because it's not even accurate. I'm getting things to follow makeup professionals. I don't even wear makeup. I don't like makeup.
That's wrong.
I'm not that demographic.
Send it to Victoria.
You can send it my way.
There you go. I'll just tag Victoria.
The top radio review, a roundup of the items that we're talking about on the DJV show. Thank you, ladies. 48 past the hour.
Over the past few weeks, I've learned how the 2021 National Coin Dealer of the Year, Mike Fulgens of Universal Coin and Bullion, became an expert at detecting and exposing counterfeit money. I don't think people really understand the threat of those counterfeit products from China and how important it is that they protect themselves. And you're saying, look, come to people like us. You take a chance when you're just buying off the cuff and you don't know who you're purchasing from, right?
Absolutely. You don't know their expertise. You don't know their reputation. And there's a risk there. No matter what you see online that they're recommended or they got certain checks, you want to know who that person is. And are they reputable? And do they have expertise over time?
So don't wait any longer. Contact Mike Fulgens. He's recognized as America's gold expert by the U.S. government and his team of professionals at Universal Coin and Bullion to own yours now. Call 1-800-UCB-GOLD. That's 1-800-UCB-GOLD.
It can be difficult to notice that your brain may not be functioning as well as it used to. The signs of aging can be subtle. But now it's easy to do something about it. Help your brain with Prevagen. In a clinical trial, a subgroup of adults with mild age-related cognitive impairment taking only one Prevagen a day were shown to improve in measures related to memory. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure,
an important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. It alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Past the hour on the DJV program, time for our weekly visit from the man who knows more about cars than anybody else on the planet. That's a pretty bold statement, and I can't back it up with facts, but I just feel that way because I like Nick. Nick Miles is here from rautoexpert.com. General Motors says it's going to put new batteries. They're producing Bolt batteries now. Because the Bolts were junk, basically. Weren't they having to give people back their money for these Bolt cars?
Yeah, I think the Bolts were good. The batteries weren't good. The batteries were made by a third party, and the General Motors are now going to replace them all. And every single one they ever made, which is good for them. I mean, they had five fires, I think, and only one person was hurt.
I thought people were bringing the cars back to dealers and saying, I want my money back. I don't want to keep this car.
There were some, but there's some with every brand, right? As opposed to the other electric car brand where people were running into the back of fire trucks and the cars were catching fire randomly and the car company had done nothing about it. So I think GM have stepped up. GM have stepped up and they're doing the right thing.
Speaking of GM, I'm looking at the J.D. Power's appeal study. The J.D. Power people always are rating various companies for performance and that sort of thing. And there are I think in the last few years, there have been very few American cars that have shown up on this list, but there are a lot of American and German cars in the list as well, right?
Yeah, so they split it up into two, those cars that we can't afford and those that we can, meaning luxury and non-luxury. And in the non-luxury, it's been quite a surprise. They like to call them, I think, the family cars or the mass market cars. Yeah, Americans are doing very well in that list.
So under the circumstances, do you consider a Cadillac and a Lincoln to be mass, the popular, or would they be their counterpart, the Ford and the Chevrolet?
Yeah, Cadillac and Lincoln are technically the expensive luxury versions of Chevrolet and Ford.
Yeah, right. They look just like them. All the cars look the same. They come out of General, and they do them Ford too. So Lexus is on this list. You and I were talking about that before we went on the air. I've never thought Lexus was anything special at all. It's just a Toyota, but they're very reliable, right? I mean, there's nothing special about them. They're just reliable.
Well, they're getting more and more. One of the things they're doing over at Lexus is trying to make their vehicles more appealing, and but they've always been super reliable. I mean, it's hard to find a more reliable luxury car, and they've always sold for good money. So those people are penny-wise have always gone for Lexus, but they're now becoming very passionate about the brand, and they're starting to design vehicles which are much more performance-oriented. So you'll start to see more and more Lexus over the next few years, which they're in NASCAR now with their Toyota brand, and they're starting to be in Sebring, 24 Hours of Sebring and things. So they're getting very passionate into performance.
So Volvo's on this list. Do you think people realize the Chinese own Volvo now, and once people do, they'll stop? I mean, the sales of Volvos will go into the toilet?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I don't think people realize, but a lot of times people switch off in the Japanese brands. I mean, they think, well, but there again, you have to start thinking about what in your car is built by the Japanese. I mean, the chips in our car are all built by the Malaysians anyway, and so a lot of the screens come out of Japan and China. Parts come out of China all the time, and cars are becoming more and more global as it is. It just happens that the country that owns them. The cars that own the Volvos are from China. I actually think that Volvos have got some great ideas originally from Sweden. I just think they're not as put together as well as they used to be when they were all Swedish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. I find the Chinese, doing business with Chinese companies, anathema to the American way of life, and supporting them buying a Volvo is un-American, frankly, as far as I can see. All right, let's look at some. I see the Rover is in here, first time number three on the list. That's got to be a surprise to those of us who own Rovers and wonder how can they charge this kind of money for these cars, and who, like me, are silly enough to pay it. So,
I mean, if you love a Range Rover or a Land Rover, you love them, right? This is half of the problem. This is the appeal study. This is what people like in their vehicles. So you got Porsche, Genesis, Rover sitting at number three. I mean, they are appealing. When I look at them, I go, hey, they're beautiful cars.
I like the way it rides, it runs, it looks, and they've had the same design. The full-size Rovers had the same design for, 10 years, time for a change, and I wonder what the change will be, if that'll appeal to people. You always wonder that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
good, good job.
You can find this list at our auto expert. Well, it could be your auto expert. Ourautoexpert.com. That's where Nick Miles resides.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with Extend.